Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we're in our 21st year now bringing these messages to you. And we praise the Lord for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If this is your first time listening today, we say welcome to you. We hope you come back each and every Sunday. And for those of you who've been with us for many years and supported these broadcasts, we appreciate you. We say thank you to you. And we hope you also continue to come back each and every Sunday. Today, we're going to be looking at part two in our series on health and healing. And this is a big, big subject in the Bible. Many times Jesus encountered people who needed healing, people with sickness in their body, sickness in their mind. And we are of the same condition, the same situation here today, 2,000 years later. And so we're going to look at situations where Jesus encountered people and encouraged people, healed people. And so that is going to be the subject matter for today. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Exodus chapter 15. We'll start in verse 26. Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Thank you for tuning in. Before we get to the message, we're going to just give you a brief update what's going on over there in Kenya. As I've spoken several times, we are building a school there right next to the children's home. We've got an acre of land. We're building a school for primary students, grades 1 through 8, with a preschool. And so that's going to be an ongoing project for a while. We need your support. We need your prayers. At this point, we're stalled and we want to get moving again on that project. We're asking the Lord, trusting the Lord for $200,000 to finish this project, get it up and going, and there'll be three buildings in a U shape with a courtyard in the middle and dining hall, bathrooms, everything you need to take care of 200 students, and they'll be coming from Makunda Village. Many of these students drop out in grade 6, grade 7, grade 8. It's very common there, and so we want to have a good school, give them a good education, and at the same time, put it all in a Christian environment, sing songs to Jesus, tell stories about Jesus, so these children will come to know Jesus as they're getting their education. If you can help us, need more information, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. That's pureprairie@hotmail.com. I can get you more details on this project. Hope to get you involved and come along and support this project so we can get it finished and get those students in that primary school there in Makunda in Kenya. Well, today we're going to be talking about part two in our series on health and healing. And as I said in the preview, this is a big, big subject. Many times Jesus encountered people and they needed healing and they needed restoration of their body or restoration of their mind. Many of them were in pain. He even raised people from the dead. And we are in the very same situation today. The health crisis in America is a monumental mountain. It's a big mountain to climb, a big mountain to deal with. And people are very unstable in their minds and have a lot of cancer and a lot of chronic illness. And so we need to pay attention to what God's Word has to say about health and healing, because every single person listening to me, if you're not dealing with it right now, you're going to be dealing with it at some point in the future. And so it's important to know and understand God's will and his teaching regarding health and healing. Well, first of all, God is willing to heal you. It is God's will to heal you. I can say that unequivocally, and I can say that through experience, because I've experienced much of God's healing power in my life over the many years. I've had afflictions, I've had health issues, serious health issues at different times. And then there's been different times when I've had the blessings of the Lord in my life, haven't had to see doctors for many years at a time. And so I am well aware of God's will to heal. And even this very day, I'm thankful for all the healing that He has given me. Well, in Exodus 15, verse 26, the children of Israel are out in the wilderness area, and the water that they have, which was scarce and sparse, far between the water holes and the places to drink, and besides a number of people, were also millions of animals, or hundreds of thousands of animals that needed water. And so God was willing to see to it that they had water everywhere they went. And so in verse 26, God speaks to Moses, and He says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all of His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord God who heals you." And that name in Hebrew is Jehovah Rapha. And so God promised these people out in the wilderness area, His children, the children of Israel, He promised them that if they kept His statutes and commandments, in other words, were obedient to Him, that He would put none of the diseases on them which He put on the people in Egypt. And if you go back to the story in Exodus, back in the first few chapters of Exodus, you see that God delivered the children of Israel out of the nation of Egypt, and He put these plagues and all of these strange illnesses and frogs in their beds, frogs in their houses, and flies and gnats, and turned their waters into blood and all this stuff. There was a series of plagues that God put on the children of Egypt, and they were put on the children of Egypt so that they would release their captives, release the children of Israel, and that they could be released to go out into the wilderness area and eventually into their own land, the promised land. And so that's where the name Jehovah Rapha came from. God says, "I am the God who heals you." And He made the waters sweet at that point. The waters were bitter, the waters of Marah, and He made the waters sweet at that point so all the children of Israel could drink of the sweet water, water their livestock, water their animals. And so God is willing and able and capable to heal you. Well, in Isaiah 61, verse 1, Isaiah prophesies about a man coming, and this man turned out to be Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the prophecy in Isaiah 61:1 goes, "Because the Lord has anointed me," and now this is speaking prophetically about Jesus Christ, "because the Lord has anointed me, He has sent me to heal or bind up the brokenhearted, and the depressed, the crushed in spirit, the full of anxiety," that is mental disturbances. "He has sent me to heal up the brokenhearted." Well, who isn't brokenhearted, or who hasn't been brokenhearted in this life? Every single person that walks the face of the earth has been betrayed. Many people in America go through divorce. They go through very difficult situations in marriage and in other relationships, and everybody is suffering at some point from a broken heart, from people who have betrayed them, people who have hated upon them, people who have despised them, even in their own family, their mother, their father, their stepmother, stepfather, and all of this. So God says that Jesus Christ would be one who would bind up or heal the brokenhearted. Then in verse 2 in Isaiah 61, He would comfort all who mourned. Well, you're going to have people in your life that are going to die, people that are very close to you, your family, your spouse, your children. Death comes. It's a natural part of life because we live in a fallen world, and we live in a world where death is the leveler, you might say. Death is the common denominator for every person's life at some point. And if you have strength, you live to be 80 years. The lifespan that God says we can have here on this earth is 70, and if by strength, 80. And so you're going to eventually deal with death yourself, and you're going to deal with it also as you lay your loved ones to rest. And so you will have mourning, you will have sadness, you will have sorrow over the ones who have been taken from you, and you may not understand it, especially if you're young, you may not understand it. But as you get older, you will see all the people who are close to you. They will all experience death, they will all face death, and you will also deal with death yourself. I've preached at quite a few funerals, not only here in the USA, but also in Kenya. And death is just a part of life, and it's a great time to preach at a funeral because you can talk about the healing and the comforting of Jesus Christ, the healing blood of Jesus for the living. And not only that, you can talk about salvation. You can talk about what happens after we die. And so it's a very important time to preach to people because people will listen. Their hearts are broken, their hearts are full of sorrow, and so they're willing to listen to find out for themselves what is salvation and how it affects them. Well, Isaiah 61:3, to give them a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And so if you read that Isaiah 61, you see many prophecies about Jesus Christ, and they all came to fulfillment, every single one of them. Jesus Christ fulfilled it in the natural, in his life as a man, as fully man and as fully God, when he walked this earth for 33.5 years. Well, Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Well, we know that many, many people in America suffer from mental illnesses, mental instability. That's why I always pray at the start of these messages every Sunday. I pray for people with mental instability, mental issues, and bipolar issues, anxiety issues, because there's many people here suffering, and they use drugs, either legal or illegal, to cope with their mental instability, and they have lots of issues many times that lead to violence. We have a violence problem here in America. People pick up guns and they shoot themselves, shoot their wife, shoot their family, shoot people in schools. We have a very serious violence problem, and it comes from people who are very disturbed, people who are mentally unstable. They're not capable of thinking properly about themselves or about their relationships. They're not capable of understanding and being able to navigate through life without serious incidents of violence, serious incidents of lashing out at people who are close to them or even strangers. And so Proverbs says that anxiety or anxiousness, fear over the future, anxious over your health, anxious over your finances, anxious over your relationships, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, and it leads to anger. It leads to lashing out, but a good word makes it glad. Well, where does a good word come from? That's the important part, and that is the reason why you need to pick up your Bible every single morning, every single day. Pick up your Bible, read it. If you're not familiar with the Bible, read through the Psalms, starting in Psalm chapter 1, go to chapter 150. Read it over and over until you start to replace those negative and those angry and those depressed thoughts in your mind and in your heart. You start to replace them with the good word the good word that makes it glad, the good word of God, gets planted in your heart, gets planted in your mind. Start to memorize scripture. Start to memorize it so you can replace all of those negative thoughts. And when the devil comes to you and he tempts you with all kinds of negative thoughts, you're a nothing, you're a nobody, you're a no good, think of all the things your dad said about you or your mother screamed at you. Replace those thoughts with a good word that makes it glad, makes your heart glad, makes your heart full of joy. The Bible says that a merry heart is good medicine. A merry heart is good medicine. And so when you replace all those negative thoughts with the good word of God, with the scripture that comes from God's word, and the word of God is living and active, and it can replace all of those negative thoughts, get all of that despair and depression and thoughts of suicide out of your mind, that you're a nothing, that God doesn't know you, he doesn't care about you, all those negative thoughts. Start identifying yourself with the thoughts, the good thoughts that make your heart glad, with the good thoughts that God created you. He created you for a purpose. He created you to bring glory and honor to him. He created you to have a positive impact here on the earth amongst the people that you walk with, a positive impact in your relationships with your family, with your church brethren. And so that is God's plan for your life, that your heart becomes glad. It becomes a good medicine for your body. Well, the second point I want to bring, first was it is God's will to heal you. The second is the blood of Jesus and God's word heals us of sickness. Isaiah 53:5, another Old Testament prophecy of Jesus Christ. I would encourage you, read that whole chapter, Isaiah chapter 53. It's all about Jesus on the cross. It's about why Jesus took our sin and went to the cross, shed his precious blood for us on the cross. And it's a powerful chapter, one of the most powerful chapters in the whole Bible. Isaiah 53:5 says, he, speaking about Jesus, he was bruised for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace lies upon him, or was placed upon him. And by the stripes, or the lashings that he took, the stripes, we were speaking about the whipping post, the lashings that Jesus took, the 39 stripes that he took at the whipping post, by the stripes that he took, we are healed. And this is a powerful scripture. Beloved, if you have sickness in your body today, if you have cancer, if you have arthritis, if you have joints that are aching and pain in your body, if you have heart disease, start speaking this scripture over yourself. Speak it over and over. He was bruised for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace lies upon him. And by the stripes that he took, we are healed. And when it says we are healed, God is speaking there of we are healed in every way. Every way. Whatever illness you have, if you have mental illness, if you have schizophrenia, if you have depression and despair, or if you have cancer in your body, or you have achy joints or arthritis and you can't stand up straight, every single illness, physical, mental, or in any other way, God says that the stripes that he took, you are healed. And so start speaking that, start believing it. Pray believing as if you've already received. And so start thanking the Lord. Start thanking him that the healing is coming, even if you haven't seen it. You're not going to probably see it the first day that you speak this, but it will come. Start thanking him for the healing that is coming. Start saying, thank you, Jesus. I haven't seen it yet, but I know, because your word is truth. Your word is truth. And the promises in your word are truth to me, and I receive them for myself. I receive them for my achy body. I receive them for my crippled leg or my knee that doesn't work right. And so you speak them and you believe it and you start to act out as if you believe it. Beloved, there is healing power in the Word of God, and that's why you need to be studying God's Word, be listening to God's Word. Turn on your radio if you're sick. Turn on your radio and just listen to some Christian station that's preaching God's Word, that's telling God's Word. There is healing in God's Word. In Psalm 107, verse 20, this is a story about the children of Israel out in the wilderness area. And in verse 20, it says, "He, God, sent His Word, and He healed them, and He delivered them from their destructions." And so you need to be getting God's Word into your mind, into your heart, into your body, and just listen to God's Word. When you're going down the highway, tune in to Christian radio, listen to preaching of God's Word, listen to music and worship music with God's Word in the music. And so it's important that that becomes part of your healing protocol, your healing regimen, is to continually have God's Word put into your heart. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The Word of God is living and powerful," or some versions say quick and active. The Word of God is living. "It is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is piercing even to divide between the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, even to discern between the thoughts and intents of the heart." And so the Word of God can pierce between your soul and your spirit. Many times people's soul has made attachments to things here on the earth, things in the natural. They've made attachments to people. They've made attachments to demonic entities, demonic programs, demonic plans, demonic words. And so the Word of God can come and it can separate between the soul and the spirit. Your spirit is pure and wants to hear from God. Your spirit wants to communicate with God. But the soul sometimes is so overbearing that the soul takes over and suppresses and oppresses the spirit to where you can't hear from God. You have no desire to communicate with God. And so the Word of God separates between the soul and the spirit and can bring you back into alignment with the love that God has for you, can bring you back into alignment to where your spirit has a desire to hear from God. Well, the third point I want to make is that the Lord is always willing to heal us. Not only can He heal us, but He is always willing to heal us. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, a leper had came to Jesus, and the leper worshipped Jesus, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean," or "can you make me clean?" And then Jesus put out His hand and touched the leper, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And then Jesus said to him, "See to it that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Well, that was following Old Testament commandment. When a person had leprosy, they had to go check with the priest, and the priest would give them instruction on how to take care of the leprosy. They had to separate them from the people. They had to separate them, and there was protocol that had to be followed before they could come back and join the people. But Jesus immediately healed this leper, and Jesus said, "I am willing, be cleansed." And so Jesus is always willing. You're in the same situation as that leper. Ask the Lord for cleansing, and you will have cleansing. Ask the Lord for healing, because Jesus is always willing to heal. Well, in Mark chapter 10, verse 47, there was a man named Bartimaeus, and he was blind. He was sitting alongside the road when Jesus came down the road, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth coming by, he began to say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then many of the bystanders warned him, "Be quiet." he cried out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then in verse 49, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, the Son of God, Jesus, is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. And so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. And so he asked Jesus, Rabbi, I want to receive my sight. And Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight. Beloved, you need to activate your faith. You need to ask Jesus. You have not because you ask not. You need to ask Jesus, and you need to then activate your faith. Maybe you need to go to a healing meeting that somebody is having somewhere. Maybe you need to go to church for the first time and get down on your knees and ask God, God, would you heal me? I need to receive my sight. I need to receive a healing for my cancer or whatever it is that is plaguing you. And when you do that, God is faithful. He hears you. He knows your heart. He knows if you're sincere. He knows your heart. And beloved, Jesus said to this man, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Many times in the Bible, Jesus said, your faith has made you well. You have to activate that little mustard seed of faith. You have to activate it. Go out of your way. Seek Jesus. Ask him. Seek and you shall find. And when you ask him, beloved, he is faithful and true to hear you and to heal you. And he will send you on your way. And Jesus then went on down the road. Well, beloved, this is a big subject we're going to take up more because there's so many scripture on it in the Bible. We're going to take it up again next week as we look at this subject of health and healing. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. Thank the Lord for all the many good messages that he has given us over the years. We'd love to have your support. We'd like to hear from you, and you can help keep these messages on the radio. You can also help with your donation to keep the projects going in Africa. You can contact us at Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas. That's Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can go to PayPal, use your debit or credit card, paypal.me/GatherTheOutcast. You can look at pictures of the ministry at facebook.com/JimRao, and you'll see many pictures of what we're doing over there in Africa. We'd love to hear from you today. We'd love to know that you appreciate these broadcasts, and so sit down today, write us out a check, let us know that you're listening. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.